I myself have made all of these things by my own hand, and all of these things are continuing, says Jehovah. Toward this one I look, to the humble and abused of spirit, to the one fearful of my words. Isaiah 66, verse 2, from the Word Green Version of 2003. And you notice it does not say that Jehovah looks toward the abuser. It says he looks toward the abused of spirit. He cares for the humble ones. He looks after them. And all the organizations in the world, when you think of them, the only ones that are appointed by God, believe it or not, this is the truth, the only organizations appointed by God are the governments, the country's leaders, and all of the governments, you know, provincial or state, municipal, all levels of government in the world are appointed by the true God, whereas there is no other organization appointed by him, and that includes every organization, you know, no matter what it is. If it's not a governmental organization, it's not appointed by God. So that means all these other organizations are self-appointed. And we have no obligation, right? They can't do anything if we don't obey them. We do obey the governments because they can do something if we don't obey them. They can take action against us legally, right? Such as could result in our being put in prison or given monetary fines or whatever. But they can restrain us, do things to discipline us, if they're appointed by God. So those authorities we obey, as Paul also mentioned at Romans 13, verse 1 of the Bible. And, you know, it's quite evident that there's more than one place in the Bible where subjection to the governmental authorities is given as a necessity for Christians. Something we are commanded to do, but that's because these organizations are appointed by God. But the other organizations, none of them have any power over us. None of them have power over us. And we should not obey them either. Or because God gave us free will so that we don't obey these other organizations that are self-appointed. Now, the rise of Sirius, the dog star at dawn on July 18th, 2774 BCE, in the article The Ark of Urartu, chapter 6, paragraph 10 now, little children, near Uzungili, Turkey, is the observation point for this chart, using SkyChart 3, running in UTM under Windows XP. That's a chart we looked at before. I think we can either blow it up right here, or maybe I'll just do that instead of referring to a separate tab. It's probably simpler. So we can just make it whatever size we want. And then if you see this, as the sun rises on that July 18th day, see, this is at Uzungili, Turkey. Completely different in Egypt. But in Uzungili, Turkey, the star Sothis is rising at the same time as the sun, so it won't be visible. You see that? That's the star Canis Major. It's also called, it's called many things. It's C Major. You see it says CMA there. Many times it says CMA, and then it says Canis Major also. It's called, well, it's got a bit longer of a name, but no, this is a different name there. Then there's Canis Major. They're two different names. They're not the same star. Canis Major is there. But I want to show you that in the location of Pi Ramesses. Same program, but just using the different colors, which are rather weird here. But anyway, you're still getting the same picture, but now it's from Pi Ramesses. And this is from 2291 or 2292 BCE. The reason being, I want to show you, here's the star Canis Major, somewhere right about here, or CMA. It's the same star that we just looked at, CMA. And there's the sun. So here, it's above the sun on the horizon. You can see the horizon line is the blue line. This is the eastern horizon, the blue line. And Canis Major is above that blue line by more than what the sun is. The sun's right about there. So because of the difference being quite considerable in the latitude there, between Pyramides, which is latitude 30 degrees, and using Geely's latitude, going back to the drawing again, 44 degrees. Sorry, 39 degrees north. Right, 39 degrees north. And compared to 30 degrees north. Right, 9 degrees difference in latitude makes a difference that this star is visible on this day in, well, in somewhere near Pyramides. We consider it that the capital at the time of 2770, we look at it as Eridu. I can make this Eridu. Let's make it Eridu. Doesn't really matter. I don't think it's much different. Let's go location. And we say Eridu. I've already entered these locations previously into this. It stores them even in UTM. I could store these locations. But now, at Eridu, what happened to the sun? Now we're not seeing it. Our timing is different here. We have to advance by an hour or something. We're set for 100 years, so we better change it to an hour. And then we go, well, let's see if our F5 and F6 work. F6 is how you go forward 1 hour. Doesn't always work. Or we just do it this way. Forward, step forward. That worked. There's the sun. Okay, let's go back. See if our animation works now. Backward would be F5. No, well, we can do it using the menus. It's because it's running in UTM. I didn't see the sun. It was right near Venus, but I didn't notice it because I saw Venus and didn't see the sun. So let's go back another hour. We were just about an hour wrong. Now we've moved back an hour and we're at Eridu. Okay, the sun is just rising on the eastern horizon, and we have, there's the eastern, there's the sun. There's the east, and there's Canis Major, right, which is the star Sothis. Let's just note what the names are of this star. Sothis, Sirius, Sirius A, Sopdet is the Egyptian name, or Alpha Canis Majoris, alpha because it's the brightest star in this particular constellation, which is, I guess it's the dog, it's the dog constellation, right? Looks like a dog, and that's why it's called also, this star is called the dog star. And that's where we get the expression, the dog days of summer, because that's when this star's around July 18th is rising all around the world. Depending on the latitude, I guess, because as we see, it's July 13th in Thebes, July 18th in Memphis, for example, in Egypt, those cities being two cities of Egypt. And that gradually, that's in the Julian calendar, which is not as, I mean, it will change over time in the Julian calendar gradually, because it's not as well corrected for the seasons as the Gregorian calendar is. So if we just use the Julian calendar, it wouldn't be the same as July 18th nowadays. I'm not sure what it is, but you can do all that calculation. But I want to show, but you know, using this program, you can do that, or you can use PLSV also. It's another Windows program. But we don't have a lot of Mac OS programs, but the Mac OS version of this program I found to be defective in some way. That was SkyChart version 2. I couldn't get it to work to increment by 1 month and still show the correct position of the sun in the constellation. So I knew that it wasn't working right. So it does work, I think, if you manually enter these things, but I couldn't center things on the sun and say, you know, center on the sun and have it just, like I can probably do that with this program. I can say center on the sun and it will put the sun in the center of the picture and show everything else around that center. See, center planet, I can select the sun. I don't want to do that because I don't want to, I want to look at it like this for now. But what I do want to show you is the animation, which I've never even seen myself until today. Never looked at this particular animation. So let's go to 100 years for each increment here. We select that, right? Now it says 100 years right there. 100 years, check mark. And now we can select animation backward or forward. Since we're at 2200, let's go forward to the time of Seti the First, 1320-something, the time of that rising of Sothis during the time of Seti, when it rose on Thoth 1, the first day of the Egyptian calendar, which only happens every 1460 years. So the next one after 2774 is 13... Well, what's 74 minus 60 would be 1314. But it's not exactly that. It's 1320-something. Okay. So, but it's close enough that we know that that's roughly 1460 years for the cycle. Let's just step forward, though, but not stepping, but animating forward. Okay. We can do that by Control-A, or we can click on the animation to stop it on the menu item. Just watch what happens to the sun here when I click this, as opposed to what happens to Canis Major here. So look at Canis Major, and then the sun won't change much, but this Canis Major will move. But we're only interested in the up and down movement relative to the horizon. So let's watch the animation of the up and down of that star or that dog-shaped constellation. Animate backward or forward? Forward towards the time of Seti. Here we go. Ready? Go. See what happened? See, look what the dog star is doing. It's now moved forward to the time... Uh-oh. What happened? Oh, it's okay. I'm going to have to go control... That stopped it. Control 0. Now I went so that it's completely off the screen. We're now at the year 7200 of our era. That's really far advanced, but let's go back again. Let's watch it go backwards 100 years per unit, right? Watch until the dog star starts. There, the dog star just appeared. Stop. Now we're at 291 BC or 292 BC right here. So still July 18th. We're just keeping the same date. We're going 100 years backward or forward. So at this point, the sun's not even there, not visible, right? So to find out when it's visible, we'd have to change the date and time. What is the date and time? I don't know if I can change it that easily. Go to 6, maybe? 6 o'clock? Not going to let me. Just a minute. Anyway, I want to show all this because I want 6 there. Don't even have 6 o'clock there. There's the sun. Right. So let's keep going backwards. We go Control B, I think, for that. Control B. Control B. Yeah, it's going backwards. Stop. Now, where'd the sun go? Right there with the moon, or with Mercury, I should say. And now the dog star's up here, but we're at the wrong time of day again. I guess I should have left the time of day the same as it was. Let's go back to 5. If Jehovah's willing, let's go back. There. The sun is on the horizon, and Canis is there. Not maybe high enough to be visible. It has to be something like 11 degrees or something to be visible, the altitude above the sun. And we've already seen what that roughly is, what that looks like. It doesn't look like that's 11 degrees, maybe, but... So we're at 20... Oh, now we're at 2491. We're almost back to the time of 2774. So let's keep going. But But let's not go 100 years at a time. Well, can we go 1 year at a time? That'll take too long. So we have to go 100 years. So we're going to go animation backward and ready to stop with control 0. And stop. That's 37. So let's go control A. We went too far. But by the way, look where there's the sun and there's Canis Major. Evidently not in a position to be visible right there either. It's gone back too far. We're almost back to the next rising of Sophis, actually. Let's go control A, control 0, 2491, control A, control 0. Wow, it moves so fast. So I have to put it there manually. Got to do it manually. Control T. I can't get it there easily. With that 100 year, they don't give me a 10 year cycle or a 50 year cycle or anything. 23, 20, minus 2773 right there. So there we're back to where we were at the time of the coincidence, right, of the sun on the horizon along with the star of Sothis. But at Eridu, it's visible, you see, or possibly visible, but it was, well, it doesn't, no, we didn't say it was visible at Eridu. We said it was visible in Egypt. That was the point. Okay. I'm just going to cover a few things. Now, Michael Russell, in the book A Connection of Sacred and Profane History, as we read on from the beginning of Chapter 6, Paragraph 10 of the Ark of Urartu to the Orient Express, on page 331 dates the reign of Nembrod, or Nimrod, as the genealogy also does, as commencing within the 6th, quote, 6th century after the deluge, end quote. Precisely. He gives the credit for the date entirely to Syncellus and says that he copies him exactly, quote, year of the world 2776, end quote. 1826 hours. This is just my diary record of what time it was. And the day looks like there's a one-day error here somewhere, because the previous day, two days earlier, was the first of the month, and this day is the third. I think there's the other date that occurred prior to this should have been the 2nd of March in the year 2011, but this is probably currently the 2nd of March, 1826 hours. The most spectacular thing about it, it's either the first or between the first and the third, anyway. The most spectacular thing about it is no doubt that this year is identical to the one of the genealogy, 5550 minus 27, because Adam is created in 5550 in the genealogy. That year minus 2776, which is the year of the world, 2776, in other words, from the creation of Adam, that's what the year of the world means. So we take away 2776 from the first year of Adam, and we get 2774 BCE, which quite amazingly is, in fact, the same date as the rising of Sothis on July 18th, as calculated by PLSV. I'm trying to think whether Gauchi's numbers go back that far. I think they do. I think we've seen that in her charts as well. I think it's a very firmly established number viewed from Memphis in Egypt, or someplace in the north of Egypt, which would be similar for Pi-Ramesses also, because it's in the same general area of latitude. But Nimrod's rule begins in Syncellus in that year. That's what Syncellus said, the year of the world 2776 for the rule of Nimrod beginning. It's exactly what we have if Nimrod is this person called Osiris, right? Because in our chronology, we had the death of Osiris in 2747, and 27 years earlier was the beginning of his reign, which is 2774. So exactly correct, as we've been talking about for several days now. And the eclipse of Nimrod is July 18th, 2774, which is also a new moon for everyone, but it's an eclipse at the arc site on that day. The new moon for everybody, and it's also the day of the beginning of the Egyptian calendar, Thoth 1, which only happens every 1460 years. So July 18th, 2774 BCE is an incredibly critical day. It's an extremely important date, it would appear. On page 340, Mr. Russell also dates Abraham as flourishing at the beginning of the 12th century after the deluge. Well, the 12th century, when does it begin? It begins after 1100 years, right? Then the 12th century begins. Abraham is 24 years of age at 1100 years after the deluge in the genealogy, which is 3282. 3282 minus 1,000 would be 2282. 2282 minus 100 would be 2182, right? 2182 plus 24 is 2206, which is the birth of Abraham. So that means it's exactly true that Abraham flourished during that century, which began 1,100 years after the deluge. In our chronology, that's true also. Thus, again, coinciding with Mr. Russell's very own account, although he didn't date the deluge. Well, obviously, he dated it fairly similarly, perhaps, or it's irrelevant how he dated the deluge. The point is what he says here about the date of Abraham is still true in our chronology, but somehow it's true. That's the important point there. 1837 hours. This makes a reasonable stopping point for today. 2011, March 3rd, 10:09 hours, God's sending his messenger, Malachi 3:1. Somehow I felt that scripture talks about, in Malachi 3:1, God sending his messenger. I feel as though a great weight has been lifted off me. Still, the question is not what, when, where, why, but who. I woke up about an hour earlier today. Much more like it. The fire is not on yet, no tea is made, and it's all okay. 10:34 hours. Yesterday, I made a note of the seeming connection between the name of Osiris and the name of the star Sirius. It's almost the same name, right? Osiris and Sirius. If vowels don't matter, then Sirius and Sirius are almost the same. Sirius and Cirrus is what you'd have if the O in Osiris were taken away. Another name for the Egyptian dog star that rose early on the first day of an ancient Egyptian calendar, that other name being Sirius, it's the name of Sothis, or the dog star, or Sopdet, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, Canis Major. That's the same star also as Sirius, and the same star as Sothis, and the same star as Sopdet, and the same star as the dog star. That star rose on the first day of an ancient Egyptian calendar. Now, there is an exact unobservable alignment of the star with sunrise at the site of Noah's Ark in Uzengili, Turkey. It's unobservable at that location because it's a different latitude, as we mentioned. On July 18th, 2774 BCE, Julian, it's a Julian date. That's another thing. All our dates are Julian dates. They're not Gregorian. Screened by the sun's dawn light, in that case at Uzengili. It rose exactly with the sun, though. So that's another thing. It makes us think that, you know, the ancient people, we should keep in mind, they were smarter than we are. They were not as people have wrongly presented them. The ancients were much wiser and more observant and healthier and everything, better than we are. It's the opposite. Things have gotten worse. And they still do to this day. If you notice in the organizations, if you notice the Bible translations, as they went from the American standard and then the revised and then the new standard, you know, revised, new revised standard and then the new revised or whatever. They keep revising it, and every revision makes it worse. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's true of all Bible translations. Every revision they make, like the New World Translation, 1984, an incredible translation, great, great translation. No translation is perfect, but then the next translation, 2013, of the Study Bible of Jehovah's Witnesses, it's definitely a worse translation, like it's degraded. They keep degrading it and degrading it and degrading it. And that's because humanity becomes degraded continually. So they have to keep degrading the Bible translation to try to keep up with the degradation and the devolution of humanity. So we've gotten worse. The Bible's getting worse. Everything's getting worse. If we don't pay attention, we have to pay attention, though. That's the point. And make sure that we don't allow these things to get worse. And we don't allow these organizations to corrupt people. This factually relates to the time of Osiris, that is July 18th, 2774 BCE, Julian, as evidenced also by the correspondence of the names Osiris and Sirius. So why would they be concerned with the star named Sirius if it didn't correlate with Osiris, since it also correlates with the time of Osiris? It doesn't, you know, it must be proof that this is the time of Osiris, that is the time of the rising of this star. There was an annular solar eclipse at Noah's Ark that day. We mentioned that already, so that's nothing new to the ones who've been following us. That's at Uzengili. Noah's Ark is at Uzengili, which we looked at today, right, in the sky chart program, how the sky looked, you know, in the centuries, many centuries. We even looked at 7,000 years of our common era, and we looked at that chart too. I mean, that sky chart can show all that stuff. It's not completely accurate, but it's relatively precise. Good enough to get an idea, right, what's going on. And certainly in these few thousand centuries on either side of the common era, on either side of the turn of the common era, BC and CE, it's almost, you know, exact. It's precise enough. Now, SkyChart is not the most precise of all the astronomical programs, but it's certainly quite good. 1058 hours, quoting Paul, converted. Paul wrote at 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God keeps causing any growth. Some translations say giving. Or whatever, or making it grow, you know. But I planted, Apollos watered, but God keeps causing any growth. That's my translation right there. There's the idea, right? And God is so important, because if you don't have God, if you just believe in random chance, what happens? It's, you know, then when something good happens, you say, well, it doesn't mean anything, it's just random chance, right? So you don't have any way of learning how to create good results that way, because you believe only in this random chance God, or superstitious. That's all it is, a superstition. You don't believe in the true God if you believe in superstitions. So you have a problem, because if it's bad, that something bad happens, you could just say, well, random chance. But if something good happens, you're also saying that was just random chance, which is a totally, what's the word, discouraging maybe, or it's a futile, that's the word, futile. It's a completely futile religion. It never leads to any learning to say that, well, I got a good result, so God must have had a hand in this, you know? So I should keep doing the kinds of things I'm doing because it's not random, because there's a God, there's the true God, and the true God is certainly not going to allow it to be random. He doesn't work like that. He knows all things. He knows who's going to do what even before they do it, because he's not confined or constrained by time. He doesn't exist in the world of passing time like we do. He is eternal. So he knows even before we do it what we're going to do, but he gives us free will, and there's some kind of oxymoron there where it's hard to understand it. How can he know what we're going to do and still give us free will? But he does give us this free will, and that's an important thing. And that's the thing we have to preserve also by not obeying these organizations that are not appointed by God. Remember, Jesus said, many will come on the basis of my name and, you know, attempt, and they will mislead many. They will mislead many, he said. And so, why did he say many will come? By the way, aren't the allergies great right now? I mean, they're just, I don't know if everyone else is finding it the same as me. I don't think we all are all the same. I think my allergies are good this year. Some years it went right till the deepest, heaviest frost where it was really cold before the allergies would go away. But this year I don't seem to have any allergies right now. So that's excellent. Or well, I shouldn't say none, but much better. But so these organizations, Jesus said, many will come on the basis of my name and will mislead many. Who are the ones who are misleading many? It's the organizations, right, who claim to be appointed by the true God. They're the ones who are misleading many. It's not the other individuals who go around, but although they also are also misleading, so their contribution to the misleading of people amounts to something large. You look at all the people misleading other people. But, I mean, there are many people doing the misleading. But when Jesus said many would come on the basis of my name, why did he say many? Anyway, we'll come back to this. It's obvious that there are many, meaning essentially all. It's only the humble ones who don't claim to be coming in the name of Jesus. They're the ones he approves. But it's November 11th, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1942 hours, North American Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green. Thank you for listening and watching. I love you very much. And in my behalf, this is Sissy. And this is Annie saying bye for now. We're studying the Ark of Urartu. Today we did Chapter 6, Paragraph 10, the Ark of Urartu to the Orient Express. And that's all for today. But what was I thinking? Is there anything else to say? I've got a couple of seconds here. Well, I know. Thank you so much for watching. I know that. And I do love you. But what else? There's that book, too, by Michael Russell. That book was...